about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Checkity, 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 check. One, two, check. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
Two, check two.
Now, good morning.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
I want to do something impossible. I want to point to the sky at another planet and say, I used to live there. I don't think I've said that out loud before. Does it sound silly?
Too many people on Earth. I think they're right. So we gotta figure out a way to get to Mars, make some more people up there or something. Right. I don't know. It's getting crowded down here.
The spiciness is what's spicy about it.
You know what I love about the Kevin and Bean Show? They make me feel like less of a failure at my own job. Thanks, guys.
And now.
Meow, 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 meow.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, at least that's not annoying. So we got that going for us.
Not at all.
Which is nice.
I hope someone woke up right at that moment.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 5th of February.
Happy Lunar New Year. I'm told it is no longer politically correct to say Chinese New Year. It's Lunar New Year now.
Oh, okay.
And it's the Year of the Pig, you guys. So make the appropriate adjustments to your life and your schedule.
Okay.
Year of the Pig is finally here. You know what I was thinking about?
Eat more bacon, sausage?
No, that's not the direction we're going here.
Okay.
I was thinking as we were listening to Rodney with his astonishingly accurate comments about how it's getting crowded down here and we need to all start moving to Mars. Whatever happened, remember we had that lady on, Kevin. I was so jealous, so excited, who was one of the finalists for that one-way trip to Mars.
Yep.
Remember some people were going to go and they were going to live on Mars?
Bean wanted to do that so badly.
Oh, I would have signed up for it in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
It's a good look, yeah.
But I feel like that, if I remember correctly, and it's been a couple of years now, it wasn't a government program. It was some private company.
Right.
Like, I never heard another
same
word about it. Did that just dissipate? Is that not happening anymore?
I don't know.
Well, it's the same thing as Lance Bass. Remember Lance Bass was supposed to go to the moon?
The Russians or something, wasn't it?
Maybe he went. I haven't heard from him.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
He may live there now.
Gone.
No, he wasn't going to the moon. He was just going up to, like, the space shuttle or something like that.
Lame.
He wanted to be one of those private citizens who paid, but he didn't want to come up with the money. Because, you know, he can only make so much driving Uber. So he was looking for somebody to donate the $20 million it would cost to make him a citizen in space.
Same.
But I think that has happened. Lance Bass didn't do it, but other citizens, just regular people, have already done that, have already gone up to the space station, I think. But I just wonder what happened to that whole Mars deal, because that sounded like it was going to be awesome. It was Mars One, it was called, if I remember correctly.
Her name was Su-Ann Pien.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
right,
Bean should have been right below that name.
I would so go.
We need an update.
Would you colonize Bean?
Well, I think...
Do you think they have ISDN line there?
You're wondering if I would broadcast from there?
Yeah.
The time difference.
I think the delay and the time difference would be
insurmountable. He's 2 years ahead of us.
Imagine the sadness of the lonely broadcast from Mars of Bean alone.
But... Bean loves being alone.
That's true.
So,
I do.
I don't know.
We talked about this at the time, and Kevin could not have passed faster or harder.
It's absurd.
But because you die up there, and you never see anyone in your life again. And I understand why, you know, you got kids and stuff. Like, I understand why your situation
would be.
But
you have your wife.
I know.
Well, how do you just say to her, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave forever on my way to Mars. And she's going to go, good luck.
Honestly,
they have a complex relationship.
I think she'd be fine with it.
What, do you? Wow.
I do.
Well, that's another problem that you should look into deeply.
I think she'd be fine with it.
Right.
But the only downside that I was thinking about is you don't go by yourself. You go with fellow space travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, you kind of like in The Martian, you set up a little greenhouse or something like that that everybody lives in. And that's pretty... That's pretty limited space.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it would... Excuse me?
My bad.
It would be like
being... It was a sign from Mars.
Right?
It would be like being in a motel room with like five other people for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't seem perfect for you either.
And I also
Depending on who they are.
And I also... Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, if Emily Ratajkowski is one of them, you know, now we're talking. There we go.
There we voice.
That's what I was trying to,
yeah.
There we go.
Get up. And I also don't remember, and I should have done any bit of research before I brought this dumb topic up, but I also don't remember, are we at the point where you can leave that enclosure and, like, walk around on Mars, or no? Are
no,
we not?
It's hot as hell, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you could just walk around.
Well, then what are you standing and sleeping and sitting on the surface of Mars?
Some sort of dome, right? Some sort of setup they create. I mean, listen, we're making up a lot of fiction here,
right?
But I'm saying, like, isn't it, wouldn't they create, like, a camp and you would live in the camp and that would be able to...
I saw a guy on Mars and he planted plants so that he could eat.
Right.
That was crazy.
That was a movie.
That looked cool.
That's what I mentioned, The Martian. It'd be a situation like you live on the, like the guy in The Martian did.
Right.
Right.
But so what you're saying, Jensen, is they would send ahead. They would send some sort of a campsite, a tent or something like that. They would send ahead, and somehow you would somehow
live in that camp.
Yes, they're going to send a tent.
Here's the thing. We're sending a bunch of people up to Mars, which is a huge celebration. But we're sending people before that to set up the camp, but they don't mean anything.
Well, no, they don't have to set it up. They're just sending the stuff up there, and then Bean has to fight with the tent to get it to work.
Yes, I think that's what it was. I think just like the Mars rover landed on Mars, I think the plan was that they were going to dead drop the materials necessary to build the tent. And then once the people got up there, that was going to be their first job, is putting the tent together.
Wearing like a suit.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. That makes
sense.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a solid plan.
Yeah, this is right in line. We should set this up.
Right.
This is a good bit. We should send you to Mars.
Hey, Dave, if Kevin agrees, I'd love to reach out if we still have contact information for Sue Ann and find out whatever happened to that program and what she knows about it, because she was very enthusiastic about it. And she would certainly be keeping track of where we're at.
And
if
I remember correctly, she was really serious about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like 100% in. She'd thought through everything except for the tent.
And she definitely wasn't the astronaut who wore diapers and drove to Florida.
No, was not her.
Okay, good.
That was not her.
Good.
That was much better.
Right.
So let's get Sue Ann on and let's find out about the tent and, like, if I can still go. I feel like they're not gonna let me go, but I would like to reapply.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
No one's against that.
So here we come, Mars.
Yeah, make way, Lance Bass.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I think you're lying.
I mean, Bean has to do at least today's show before he leaves for Mars, so let's work on
that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to get it together in 24 hours.
We have Haley Joel Osment coming in the studio.
He is very funny.
He's good.
Have you guys seen Future Man?
I haven't. I love
saw
it.
The first season, yeah.
It is fantastic.
It is a victim of too much TV because it is very good.
It is very good.
I said that to my wife. I said, in what world do we not know about this show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how much TV there is, because I think it's one of the best shows out there.
Yeah, if you told me that Seth Rogen and Evan were going to come up with a comedy show with, you know, very little, they have almost all creative control, I'd be watching every one. But again, too much TV.
Yeah, sure. We also have tickets to Muse on the program today.
Fantastic.
Songs that never get old. This is weird to me because, you know, if you work at a radio station or if you listen a lot, you hear a song over and over and over again. At some point,
Weezer Africa.
At some point, you do get tired of Weezer Africa.
Right.
But there are
songs. Not yet, though.
Not yet. No.
Of course not.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's great here.
But there are songs, for some reason, that I could listen to for the rest of my life and they don't burn. It doesn't upset me.
And
well, I'm glad to hear it again.
And there may be songs that you've loved for 20 years.
Right.
And you've heard thousands of times, but you still turn it up and listen to the whole thing when it comes on.
And what's the difference between a great song that you love and it gets old and a great song that you love that never gets old?
That's a
Socrates quote, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's magic right there.
Right? That's the arts. 23andMe, we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
A guy is suing his parents for being born because he didn't give them consent.
I love this guy.
I love this guy, too.
Agreed. And animal stories on the show as well today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
And it is time for a first look at what's happening. Allie, are you growing a beard?
Yes, it's me, Allie McKay, and this is what's happening.
You look so different today. What's going on?
But you sound just like her.
Oh, thank you. Well, things are pretty crazy. I got a beard, as you know. I look like an Armenian 39-year-old.
He's like a Cookie Monster.
Hey, Jensen, you can go back to that.
Oh, okay, good to hear. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Well, this year's Super Bowl was clouded in controversy, whether it was the depressingly bland pick of Maroon 5 for halftime or the political issues with Colin Kaepernick or even Donald Trump saying that he wouldn't let Barron play football the day before. Seemed like kind of an off-brand comment by him. Well, the ratings are in, and we finally get to see that the distractions may have affected the big game, and it did. The defensive battle that resulted in one of the lowest scoring Super Bowls in history is also now the lowest rated in a decade.
Okay.
All right. Via the Sports Business Journal, the overnight rating was a 44.9 share, which, don't get me wrong, is a lot of people.
That's my point, but go ahead.
But it's still the lowest since Pittsburgh and Arizona battled a decade ago.
I'm sorry. If you've got 100 million people watching your show, you're fine.
I guess. Except for the idea of how much money goes into it, but yes. I mean, it's not like, you know.
I just don't understand how they set that number, and then if it only has 100 million watchers, then you go, oh, what a failure.
Well,
just seems like crazy bookkeeping.
Well, here's the reason. It was a 5% drop in viewers over last year and nearly a 10% drop from the thriller matchup of Patriots and Seahawks. Now, this does not include streaming numbers, so that'll see a jump soon. But experts are blaming fatigue on the always winning Patriots, because it's like, why would we watch? They're going to win, or I'm just bored of them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Rams are basically a startup team, which is true. They're not.
Both of those things are true, and a super boring game.
Yeah,
obviously has a lot to do with it. I mean, I'm sure that there are people who just gave up on it at some point.
I wish I could have. I really would have if I didn't have this gig. I would have been like, I don't need to watch this. This is garbage.
And
I would have to watch it because it was the Rams. I'd have to see.
And I was surprised to see, because I was among the people poo-pooing the difference that New Orleans was going to make on the national ratings. But, Jensen, is that part of your story about how that actually ended up affecting
the ratings? Yeah, it did. I mean, it's only 1%, basically, of the viewership. But in New Orleans, the lowest-rated market for the Super Bowl, meaning out of every market, New Orleans was the lowest because they had set up a protest based on the no-call that got the Rams to the bowl. Only 25% of houses in the market watched.
This is a football crazy town. That shows you how effective that boycott bowl was.
That is a dramatic, dramatic drop. Again, it doesn't take a huge chunk out of the overall ratings, but it does show you that there are certain markets that just completely didn't watch altogether. So, did you feel that protest out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was everywhere, and it dominated the news. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of people in the streets just saying, hey, you know what? We're going to do anything else other than watch this tainted Super Bowl.
And they had, like, music performances and
all sorts of stuff and second lines. I wonder, I mean, there's no way to ever know, you know. I wonder how the Saints would have done against the Patriots.
Well, when you get to Mars, we'll figure that out.
Right?
Can anyone beat the Patriots, I guess, is like, well, the Eagles did last year, so I guess it can be done.
A lot of fictitious talk this morning.
Sure.
I'm excited about our our fanfic here at Kevin and Bean. Speaking of low ratings, just the other day we talked about Rent Live and its somewhat disappointing performance, showing a bit of a slowdown for the live musical trend that was all the rage just a few years ago. That was pretty much all we were going to see for a while. Well, it seems NBC is getting cold feet and has decided to cancel the upcoming plan and Hair live musical.
No!
Yes. They have canceled it. It is no longer. You're going to have to live with it, man.
Long hair, don't care.
Oh.
Why?
Well, they did it because the ratings are low, and they're saying it's because that it's such an enormous undertaking, they need to have a title that has wide appeal, and they're now in the process of acquiring the rights to a couple new shows that they're really excited about.
We said at the time, when Ali reported this story, that Hair was a terrible idea for a 2019 musical on television.
Yeah, it's not necessarily...
Nobody remembers it at all. Nobody cares about it. It's just goddamn hippies running around naked.
Clint Eastwood just got on the ice.
Right? Get off my line.
Get off my line. Hair was set to air May 19th, which is pretty crazy. It's close to cancel it out of nowhere, which was to go against the series finale of Game of Thrones, which is just stupid.
Wow.
but you have to think that since Rent brought in the lowest ratings ever for a live broadcast musical ever, they're getting a little bit pickier about what they'll spend their money on.
Yeah. Why?
Well, because there's an economy with too much television, and it seems like they have to make probably tougher decisions.
Why?
Well, because there's more ways to, you know, there's the online stuff, there's just less people are watching TV in general, and so they just have to be a little tighter with their dough.
Why?
It involves commercials. Here's the thing. So okay. every time that a television show airs,
right.
commercial companies purchase time, mm-hmm. and they do it based on how many viewers there are. So if there's less viewers, there's less commercial buys, and then from there they have to pretty much spend less money.
Why?
Well, it's the idea of economy in general. Economics is the idea of putting out as, you know, less than what you make back. So there's a supply and demand thing that goes on, and that's pretty much what television and all of business is based on.
Why?
A capitalistic society is more like a of the overall idea that capitalism might not be the best thing for a society, but it right. is the thing that currently rules it. So something like Johnson & Johnson or these larger companies that purchase into channels, they're looking to make the most money off of their investment. And that makes sense because they have employees and salaries and things that they have to do. So they're looking to make the most money for their dollar.
Why?
Well, because it's easy to understand. right. Because... All right. Congratulations to Andy Cohen, who last night at age 50 became a first-time dad, announcing the birth of his child, Benjamin Allen, on Instagram. The tiny tot who has been... I was going to say the tiny tot has been vocal about his surrogate. Andy Cohen has been vocal about the surrogate that he had, and the child is now weighed 9 pounds and 2 ounces at birth. And to celebrate the mitzvah, he shared...
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big baby.
I was 9'9", you guys.
Whoa, that's a bigger baby.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Andy Cohen, not so big, though.
No. No.
His kid will be taller than him when he's 4.
That's right. Already, maybe.
Jensen, what do you think about the name Benjamin? That's a great name.
I love that name.
I thought that's the same thing.
Benjamin Allen, also a sweet name. Benjamin Allen Cohen. Nice
name.
Yeah,
really good.
Nice Jewish boy. He shared a black and white photo of himself holding his son. It was very cute. Benjamin Allen, the name, is very special to him because it comes from his grandfather on his mother's side, who is named Benjamin Allen, which is something he explained in the caption, along with the words, "I'm in love and speechless and eternally grateful to an incredible surrogate, and I'm a dad." Wow.
Why? Congratulations, David.
Well, he's a dad because he... do you think my baby will be friends with Benjamin Allen?
No.
Thank you. The other day we talked about what TV shows we'd bring back and we all had different answers. But did anyone say Party of Five?
The worst name show ever?
No.
No.
Well, no big Party of Five heads? Okay.
I mean, it was okay, but it was not a party.
Not a party. Not a party.
That's what I know.
Well, Freeform has announced the pickup of a Party of Five reboot from the original series creators Amy Lippman and Chris Kaiser. And they're giving it a 10-episode order that will follow the Acosta children. Now, here's where I'm completely confused, because I've never seen Party of Five.
Okay.
Was there an Acosta family?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
The only thing
either.
I remember is Little Thurber, their little English bulldog. That's the only thing I remember. About
Well, funny enough, this is going to follow the English bulldog. No, I'm kidding. It follows the Acosta children as they navigate daily life to survive as a family unit when their parents are suddenly deported to Mexico.
Oh, instead of being killed in a car crash.
Right. Proving I don't know what Party of Five was ever about.
I think that's what it was about, was kids left behind after their parents died.
Well, now it's about being deported.
And then it was the kids.
Timely as hell.
Right.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that is going to be set up for probably end of the year or 2019. So if you're a Party of Five head, boy, do I have a show for you. Hey, guys, what if you, like, basically stalled a second while I look up famous celebrity birthdays?
Okay.
Why?
Oh, I got it. I got it handed to me. It's very good.
Don't you miss Rodney?
Very much.
We don't need to stall. I have it.
R.I.P.
Happy birthday to Christopher Guest, Jennifer Jason Lee, Laura Linney, Chris Parnell, Duff McKagan, baby. Darren Criss, who I thought was the magician, but it's the actor from Glee.
No, Darren Criss is the drummer for Kiss. Get it right, Jensen.
Darren Criss. And also, one of my favorite singers of all time and a problematic person in 2019, Bobby Brown. And that's what's happening.
Got a bunch of stuff worth sticking around for today. I don't ordinarily, you know, toot our own horn, but Haley Joel Osment's going to be joining us later on the program today.
Yep.
We got tickets for you to see Muse, courtesy of the City Sound Vault. That's going to be at the Hollywood Palladium this Saturday night. You can win those. And coming up next in about 15 minutes, the man who is suing his parents because he did not give them authorization to conceive him and birth him.
Yep.
He's suing them because he was born.
Yep.
You definitely...
Without consent. Now, I'm not exactly positive how he's supposed to give consent.
Yes,
well,
because he's
no means
born
no.
Yet.
No means no.
All of that coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock.
Guys, I have had some moral and ethics thoughts in my head recently.
Oh, well, stop that.
Well, I know. Joining the show, I should have ditched those
Look,
months
just
ago.
Just claim right. It wasn't you in blackface or in the Klan outfit.
Well,
that's all you do. Just come out and say it wasn't me.
I know, but
ended up on my page.
The problem is, a couple years ago, I did the moonwalk in front of a bunch of people, and I also painted my face black. So
that,
I
That does make it harder to believe you.
And I'm going to tell everyone that, even though no one knows that exists, if that's cool with you guys. A lot of people may have done this the same way I did this last Christmas, because they're always on sale during the holidays. But the 23andMe genetic kit...
I thought you were going to say name a star after you.
No, but I did. I would do that
for
you.
Those are the worst.
Have you guys done this?
23andMe. No, it's DNA testing?
Yes.
No.
So basically, have you?
Not. I'm not sure why I would want that.
I don't
know why I would need it.
I feel like you would like to.
I know who my parents are and my grandparents.
But do you?
Do you?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, right? Go ahead.
Well, I had that kind of issue come up recently because I had done this 23andMe, like 3 holidays ago. And it came out exactly the way I expected. I'm, a quarter Armenian. I'm a bunch of stuff from my dad. I have a bunch of Ashkenazi Jew.
You're a mutt.
I'm a mutt. I bought it for my mom this last Christmas.
Okay.
Because, it's a sweet gift to give. And my mom loves the past and the history and sort of, our family and things that have went on.
Perfect gift for her.
Perfect. Right. Gives you sort of your ancestry, tells you your background. It gives you some health things as well.
That's helpful.
Exactly. It'll tell you what kind of, strand you have for, say, cystic fibrosis or any of those things.
And let me jump in and say, by the way, that at one time early on in this being a thing that the consumer could order with a spit test, the FDA tried to discourage people from doing it, saying that they were not accurate enough and it was too flimsy and people wouldn't know how to interpret the results. They have since completely come around on that and said, man, they do a really good job with this genetic testing and help you interpret it, and it's actually legitimate and useful for people.
Oh, I have a conspiracy theory about that if you'd like.
Sure.
They share it with insurance companies now, and insurance companies can know if you have the cancer gene.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's my theory. Okay. But okay, so away from the tinfoil hat thing. Here's what happened. I gave it to my mom. She spits in a little, vial tube, little thing.
All right.
And she then sends it in, and then 6 to 8 weeks later, you get a report, and it tells you your DNA, tells you your health. My mom's came back completely different than anything we would have ever expected. It doesn't match mine.
Is she not your mom?
Well,
that's a crazy Christmas gift.
That's not possible.
I'm sorry, son. I'm not your mom.
She was half Italian, which doesn't show up in any of my or my dad's DNA. None of us are Italian. It's
possible your dad is. You just don't know your dad.
Well, that's true.
Right.
But I mean,
your mom did have that one summer traveling abroad.
Right. Yeah, to Italy. And your dad, Mario. We were all very, very shocked. To tell you that it threw our family into a tailspin would be an understatement.
So she got the paperwork back, and you all sat around trying to figure out,
Yeah, and she was so confident. She was so confident. Oh, I'm clearly half Armenian. My father was Polish and blah, blah, blah. She knew exactly what it was.
Right.
It came back a different person.
So did she feel like a spotlight on her? Like she had some splaining to do? Or was it clear
it
was wrong?
It ruled her world. She was trying to figure out. She talked to people about maybe affairs that could have happened, great grandparents, or trying to figure out, bringing up a lot of stuff. Being like, well, my grandparents did split; they did separate for a couple months. Like trying to figure out where dates fall in.
Oh my god! What explains this weird? I'm saying for her. That's what she's looking for, is what could explain these results.
Yes. And so what she did is she tried to convince her sister to take the test and couldn't get that. Okay. Her sister didn't want to do it.
Okay.
So now she's pretty much alone. So what she did was she believed that she believed there's a possibility that her parents are a problem.
Okay.
She was like, there's a problem, whatever. She then called 23andMe and said, listen, this is very strange. Do you ever have these things? They go, it's 99.8% or 99.9%. We don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So my mom was like, well, I guess this is something we have to face. Called a doctor, did all these things, and was trying to figure out what's going on. Next thing you know, she goes, you know what? I'm just going to do it again. Just going to get another test.
Just try it again to make sure they match?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just get it again because it's going to come up the same. So she buys another kit, puts her spit in the tube, sends it in. Comes back completely different. She is now half Armenian, Polish.
Exactly what she thought.
So imagine the chaos that some people could go through. My mom got an incorrect DNA 23andMe test. Imagine the chaos you could get if you're trying to figure out your parents or your step-parents or whatever it is, and your whole life changes because they made a mistake on your 23andMe DNA test.
So do we think it was just like a switch in the lab or something?
Yeah,
mailed it to the wrong person.
Then my mom calls, and now she has some confidence to yell at 23andMe.
As she should.
And they gave her back the money for test one, but it was very difficult to get the money.
Is that right?
They still were standing by it being like different spit, et cetera, like blaming it on us, basically, instead of them.
You guys were gaming the system somehow?
Or some weird mistake on our part. My mom's like, I did the same thing twice. But I'm letting people know. Like, your DNA could come back completely wrong from one of these companies and change your life, basically.
So if you're doing 23andMe,
be confident.
And by the way,
thanks for
losing us a sponsor here, Jensen.
No worries.
It sounds like your advice would be do it twice.
Yeah, or like if you think the first one's weird, do it twice.
Yeah,
right?
If it comes back what you think.
Also, like, kill your parents if it doesn't come up right.
I'm not positive that that's the answer.
Quick reminder, all week on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m., we are giving you tickets for Panic at the Disco. They have two Southern California shows, one at the Honda, one at the Forum. You win those, and then you qualify for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to see them again in London, England at the O2 Arena, including a 3-night hotel stay, which is exactly how long you need to see everything London has to offer.
Right.
Plus round-trip airfare. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, destination number 4, again, 9 a.m. Your chance to win this morning on K-Rock.
27-year-old Raphael Samuel is reportedly planning on taking legal action against his parents.
Okay,
that's always a little sad, right?
It's always ugly when there's when family members are suing one another, certainly.
In Mumbai, India, because, quote, they did not ask for his consent to be born.
Hero. This man is a hero.
They didn't get his consent. They didn't ask him if he wanted to be born, so they're suing them in court.
But wouldn't the day one in front of a judge, the question would come up, how is it even possible to ask a baby that hasn't been born for consent?
I will explain that in a little bit.
Okay, good.
He claims that he has a great relationship with his parents, by the way.
Oh, obviously.
And he says, I want to tell all Indian kids that they don't have to owe their parents anything. This is the clip of him being interviewed. The beginning music really made me laugh because I don't know why they chose it. Well, and then they go right into a guy going,
there is this myth in India that we must respect our elders. We must respect our parents mainly. This is absolutely false. You must respect a person's actions. Has that person treated you well? If they are telling you become a doctor or an engineer and they are forcing you towards it, towards something you don't want, you don't have to respect them.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
That's a hot take.
I guess my argument that I want to say is you wouldn't be here if it weren't for your parents deciding to have children. But that's kind of his point, is he didn't want to be here, right?
He's saying he doesn't care what came first, the chicken or the egg. He cares if you ask the chicken, will you please give the egg?
Yes.
Right.
Basically, right.
Now, I'm not positive exactly how this is supposed to work. You know, how they're supposed to get,
right.
Consent makes no sense to me.
Is this part of I read yesterday.
It is.
Okay, go ahead.
Part of a larger group?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you 1 second after we hear some more from him.
What is this logic? Your parents are two people at the age of 20, 25 who just wanted a good night together and then they had you.
Okay, so that's the only reason.
Maybe they wanted a baby. They're in their early 20s and they wanted to bang, so here I am.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
But what about all the people who, like Jensen and his wife, who wanted a child?
They're wrong as well, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
You don't have to respect them for that. You respect them if you feel like respecting them. Do not respect the position. Parent is a position, but a father is also a human being. A mother is also a human being. Respect the human being, not the position. We must not respect the position of the PM or any dictator. You must respect the person that he is.
What position were his parents in, is my question. I respect some positions.
Why is this guy such a dick? Why is he such a miserable dick? He is part of a group called Antinatalism.
Okay.
And basically what they believe is human beings are horrible for animals and the earth.
Not wrong.
And so no one should have kids. So it's not that he wants to have given consent. It's that his parents screwed up just by having. They should have never had him.
Yeah, they're being selfish by having kids at all.
No one should have kids.
That's an argument, by the way, that you can make. Mm-hmm. Obviously, most people will disagree with it, but I mean, he's living in India, which is a country that has over 1 billion people.
Yeah.
And their resources are incredibly strained, and they could do with a little birth control in that country.
A little. But he thinks none.
Yeah.
He says, my life has been amazing.
It sounds like it.
Who saw that coming? But I don't see why I should put another life through the rigmarole of school and finding a career, especially when they didn't ask to exist.
Preach.
Okay, then don't have kids. Look, dude.
His parents.
Right. His parents made a choice to have a child. Fine. That's allowed. You don't have to have a child if you don't want to. If you want to do your part, then don't have a kid.
Right, but he's going back and correcting an earlier problem.
He's not even looking for money. He's asking to be put back in his mom, which is crazy.
That's a little odd. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
I think you could make the argument that among the greatest K-Rock songs of all time. I think that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one goes on the Mount Rushmore, you guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Been a while since we heard it.
Mount Rushmore, that's four?
Yes.
And I'm not sure it's top four.
Really?
It might be.
Certainly.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, it's for
could
80s.
Be, but he wouldn't show up for them to do the sculpting.
Where would Boys in the Hood by Dynamite Hack fit?
Oh, just outside.
Oh.
Just outside.
Dang it.
Hey, guys, animal stories coming up right after the top of the hour. This is one you are not going to miss. I don't want to give too much away, but a woman sits down on her toilet.
Oh, no, no, no. Nope. This is my fear. No.
Dot, dot,
no, sir.
Dot.
No, sir.
That is coming up first. Jensen in for Allie with what's happening.
Well, that was my big story, so I got to switch it up now. Twitter can be a disgusting garbage can hellhole of internet filth. I know it firsthand, and Demi Lovato now knows it, as she was apparently living in it the other day when she tweeted about rapper 21 Savage, who is facing deportation after being arrested by ICE agents Super Bowl weekend.
Demi Lovato!
Bean, did you know about these 21 Savage memes? You up on that?
No.
People were tweeting like pictures of old like British soldiers with guns, and they're like 21 Savage with a gun, or like a man writing with like a feather pen, and it says, or like a quill or whatever, and it says 21 Savage writing lyrics.
Why are they making him out to be all old? I don't know.
Not old British is more the joke.
All
is that
British, got it.
21 Savage had basically been pretending he was from Atlanta, being deported back to the UK. Appears that he was not born in Atlanta, it would seem. But a lot of people didn't think those memes were funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, it was secret and obviously surprising that he was British, but also at the end of the day, this is a man being removed from his family.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of a messed up situation, especially in the climate that we're in with, like, immigration being such a key topic. So people have been critical. And Demi Lovato became the perfect scapegoat when she was berated with attack replies. So as a result, she deactivated her Twitter account, and that's all because all she did was tweet, so far, 21 Savage memes have been my favorite part of the Super Bowl. That's all she wrote.
By the way, and that's also mostly about it being a dull Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even, or also about the memes being, like, all over the internet. Right. I don't know. I mean.
But Demi Lovato has had a fractured relationship with social media.
Yes.
And she's definitely, you know, taken it hard and had some problems that have, you know, kind of taken her out of circulation for a while. And I think she has to be very sensitive to her mental health.
Well,
and she was getting a lot of blowback.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for just saying, look, I don't need this in my life right now.
I think people who have addiction issues that keep coming back should probably stay off social media altogether.
Yeah, probably so.
I'd say so
it's
too.
An impulsive thing. Makes me sound like Dr. Drew, but I do think it's true.
Dr. Phil.
Yes, also. Also Dr. Dre. Many replies went on to sort of go at her recent drug overdose and substance issues, which just made the whole situation more toxic. She clarified her comments in an Instagram story later, writing that she wasn't laughing at anyone getting deported, but the fact that no one knew 21 Savage was British. The meme I posted was talking about showed a man writing with a feather pen. So I'm sorry if it offended anyone, but she is gone off of Twitter. Gone.
Yeah,
she gone.
What? I mean, look, it's part of a larger discussion. What do you do with people? And there are millions of them who come to America and overstay their visas and are here illegally. What do you do with them?
Well,
do we just go, if you get away with it for a certain amount of time, it's cool to stay? Or do you evaluate each person and go, hey, 21 Savage, you're making a positive contribution to America, so you get to stay?
No, I think you technically would have to follow the law.
I don't think the government is that on it, Bean.
No. 21 Savage, big fan, stay
right
here.
Right.
you're lit.
Because that's what his attorney was claiming is, look, this is exactly the type of immigrant that makes America a better place.
Which is true.
Which is true.
He is an extraordinary. That's, you know, what they look for. Someone can bring something that America doesn't necessarily have. He is all those things.
He's probably been good for Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah. He didn't go through the process. So
we need a wall around the entire United States, you guys.
Good point.
The way along the East Coast, all the way along Canada.
Well, okay, good political stance.
Thank you.
We are huge Jermaine Clement fans.
Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay. No, that was just a joke.
Okay.
Okay.
We are huge Jermaine Clement fans here at Kevin and Bean, so this is big TV news. Yesterday, they announced that the television adaptation of 2014's vampire comedy, What We Do in the Shadows, has a premiere date and a trailer.
Yeah! All right.
It was directed by Taika Waititi of Thor Ragnarok. Oh, that's a lot of stuff to say quick. You guys know him. He's big time.
Yeah, but now, he's great.
But now Clement and Waititi will not be in the series, but they will be heavily involved in producing and creating it, which is great news for all of us. They're handing the reins to an all-new group of blood-sucking vampires using that same mockumentary style from the movie. If you have not seen the movie,
I haven't.
Do it tonight.
Okay.
It's only like an hour and 11 tonight. Minutes or something. It is so funny, so great. Kind of in that Christopher Guest style of vampires who've been in America for living for 200 years now. And they live
so
kind of
funny.
Boring lives
Love
a bit.
It.
Yeah. They just have to live like normal people. Waititi said he couldn't be in the show because he was busy directing Thor 3. But also, the TV show is set in America this time, Staten Island specifically. So the movie's in Britain. So the change makes a lot of sense.
All right.
And they're going to do it office style. You know what I mean?
All right. I'm in.
He got to direct some of the episodes, so don't worry. His touch is on it. It will premiere March 27th on FX for 10 episodes. There's a trailer online as well. You can look that up. And I am thrilled.
Oh, maybe in the 70s, guys, but come on, get up with the 90s. Times have changed.
Right?
It's the clip. And guys, again, if you haven't seen it, before the show comes on at least, check out the movie.
Right.
Happy birthday to Christopher Guest. Hey, I just brought him up. Jennifer Jason.
He's a racist.
Wow. I don't think he is. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Laura Linney, who you know from starting off the Downton Abbey shows. Tim Meadows, Duff McKagan, Michael Sheen, Darren Criss, and... it's his prerogative, but it's also his birthday, Bobby Brown, and that's what's happening.
Like to lodge a formal complaint? Mm-hmm. Who do I do that to?
What's your complaint about, Kevin?
Animal stories. I do not enjoy the upcoming stories because I know one of them, and I would like to object.
I think that you are going to love the first one, and you will also never use a toilet again. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
It's a great batch of animal stories this week. The first two are coming from Australia, where it seems like there are a lot of different ways that animals can kill you. Kevin, you say it's your biggest fear. Do you turn on the light and look in the toilet every time you use it?
No, I have sort of broken myself of that. I just sort of realized, look, just
stop. What are the chances?
You look when you're done, though.
Sure, to admire.
Yeah.
Well, you take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Right, sure.
Here's your biggest fear.
If you are one of those people who doesn't turn on the light when you get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, this next story might change things for you. This is Mary Richards from Queensland, Australia. Last week, she walked into her dark bathroom and sat down on the toilet.
Nope.
Seconds later, this happened.
Felt this sharp tap on my bottom, along with some pain.
By the way, she sounds very peppy for someone who has just been bitten.
Just a sharp tap.
A tap,
yes.
I enjoyed it.
Tap on the bottom, if you couldn't make that out. It turns out that sharp tap was actually a bite from a python that had been curled up in the toilet bowl.
Let's all stop and think and reflect and bemuse on that.
New.
No, sir. Curled up in her toilet.
No, sir. Nope.
In my bottom. It was pretty glorious.
She seems so happy.
Recovering from the shock, Richards shut the lid and called in professional snake handlers. Unbelievably, they told her that it's not uncommon for snakes to sneak into people's toilets down under. However, they admitted it was rare that one actually bit a sitting human, saying the python was likely more frightened than Richards was.
Nope.
No.
No.
No! No!
No!
I guess, you know, they've had a terrible heat wave in Australia this year. And, you know, the snakes are just looking for a place to go that's just cool. And I guess just being in some water and being in the porcelain and everything like that is just a comfortable place for you to be.
No way. Not ever.
It sounds like you're not on board.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
A tourist in Australia has gone viral after posting a video of himself holding a blue-ringed octopus. But it has not gone viral because the animal is beautiful. The blue-ringed octopus, you guys, news to me, is one of the most venomous creatures in Australia. The unnamed tourist is lucky to be alive.
He was holding it?
Yes, he found one on the beach and said, oh, look how cute this little octopus is.
Hey, look, everybody.
Yes. The chilling video, over the weekend, Australians started to point out how dangerous it was to handle the blue-ringed octopus. Commenters shared their own stories about the animal, which reportedly carries enough venom to kill 26 full-grown adults in a span of minutes.
Oh, what? My God.
Is this Jackie Chan?
The venom of the blue-ringed octopus, which, again, I've never heard of before, contains a neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin. It causes paralysis. The sting is so small that most people have no idea they've been poisoned until too late. And here's the best part. There is no anti-venom available.
Yes. What the heck?
The only known treatment is to massage the victim's heart until the venom works its way throughout a person's body in a matter of hours, if you can survive that long.
Hey, everybody, look at this.
Look what I got.
What must it have been like for that guy to post that photo and then start getting all of those comments like, dude, you're an idiot. That thing could kill you.
Dude, he did it for the gram.
I guess he did. Here's one of my favorite stories of 2019. I don't know why they decided to do a DNA test on this orangutan that was born in the Basel Zoo in Switzerland. Little five-month-old Padma is part of an endangered species breeding program. They did a DNA test on her after she was born and found out that the male orangutan that lives in the enclosure with his mother is not the father.
What?
Maja, his mom, had gotten pregnant from an orangutan named Vendel, an 18-year-old male who lives in an adjacent enclosure. Somehow, she stepped out on the boy that's in her enclosure and managed to do it through the fence with the next-door neighbor.
Oh, you have to admire that, right? Come on.
Is that unbelievable?
Slow clap.
Then they went on Maury. You are not the father.
I mean, you've got a male and a female. They have a baby, and then they found out that that male in that enclosure, the only one available to the woman or the girl, at least they thought was not the father.
Nah, the fence, man.
That is the
fence
right through the fence.
Wow,
that dude's a baller next door.
Yeah.
Right,
that kid's going through it though.
Right.
A Pennsylvania man says his emotional support alligator helps him deal with his depression. I know that this has been in the news a lot. People are like, look, you're really, you're stretching the definition of what an emotional support animal is. But he says, you know what? He got approval from his doctor. He did not want to go on medication for depression. And he said he always felt better around his alligator. And his doctor said, okay, gave him the certificate. He adopted the alligator when he was around 14 months old and still growing. He is now a 5-foot-long alligator. I had Wally, and when I come home, I was all around him, and it was all okay. My doctor knew about Wally, figured it worked, so why not? However, this alligator will grow to be up to 16 feet long
one day.
And currently eats chicken wings, by the way, and shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescue alligator named Scrappy. And I'm just here to say, on defense of the alligator, that little indoor plastic pond is not going to be enough for Wally.
No.
Wally is going to need a bigger enclosure with more water at some point.
Also, it brings comfort to no one else. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he carries it around, everyone's like, I'm not comfortable.
Well, I mean, if he takes it on a plane.
Yeah.
You know.
The alligator has never bitten anyone and is even afraid of cats, according to the man. He did acknowledge that he understands that Wally is still a dangerous wild animal and could probably rip his arm off, but he said he's never been afraid of him. He takes them out sometimes for meet and greets at places like senior centers and minor league baseball games. He is just like a dog, the man told a woman at a recent outing to a senior center. He just wants to be loved and petted.
Right.
And finally, I'm not going to have much luck with the pronunciation here, but her name is Kamirjira Klongzinen. She was 7 miles into a marathon in western Thailand when she saw the runners around her dodging a puppy in the road. She stopped on the side of the road during the marathon and coaxed the dog over to her. There were no houses nearby, so she thought, wow, maybe this puppy was abandoned. She just did not want to leave it behind, so she picked it up and carried it the next 19 miles of the marathon.
That puppy was probably a half a mile from home, and then she picks it up and takes it 19 miles further.
Yes, that puppy was just stepped out of its yard. She ran 19 miles holding a puppy under her arm, by the way. She says, again, it seems to her that the little guy was lost. There were no houses. There were no other dogs. There were no other people around. She thought it was an unsafe environment. Running almost 20 miles carrying a dog was truly a challenge. It was two times more tiring than a normal marathon, but I did it anyway because he was just so adorable. I know it takes a lot of time for a new dog with checkups and vaccinations and treatments, but I'm glad I was able to save him.
She stole the dog.
She stole him. She did. She thinks she's some sort of a hero for running the marathon with a puppy. She stole some poor kid's dog.
There's signs up all over on the post. Hey, have you seen this dog?
But that dog is 20 miles away by now. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
Haley Joel Osment is going to be joining us in studio coming up just after 8 a.m. this morning. I got so many questions about him working with my sweet Zach on that Ted Bundy movie.
Yeah, that's the angle that we all wanted to take.
And he's also one of the stars of Future Man on Hulu, which is outstanding. That's coming up. And also at 8, a pair of tickets to the City Sound Vault presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium. Did you ever think you'd have a chance to see a band as big as Muse in a place like the Palladium? It's going to be this Saturday night, sold out. We've got your tickets coming up around 8 a.m. this morning on K-Rock.
We, of course, are lovers of music. We love music so much. But we also work at a radio station where sometimes, occasionally, we'll overplay a song. It's possible. It's possible that occasionally, Chili Peppers are next. That occasionally, you know, we play songs too much. So,
and by the way, may I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah.
And for folks who don't understand why that happens, God bless you for listening as much as you do.
Agreed.
That's the problem. That's why songs get played as much as they do on the radio, is because most people, sadly, don't have the opportunity to listen as much as you do. If you're hearing a song so much that you're tired of it, you are an exception.
Or you work here.
Right.
Or, yeah. Most people, that's their favorite song, and they're so psyched when it comes on. So that's, if that helps you understand why some of the songs, it seems like, get played a lot and get played forever. But there are exceptions, and that's what we're going to talk about here on The Kevin DeMeade Show.
We're going to talk about songs that never get old. So you've heard it 1,000 times, and if it comes on the 1,001th time, you listen.
Because there was a story recently about Toto's Africa, which is ironic because we play Weezer's Africa a whole lot, that it's being played as an art installation in the middle of a desert on speakers for eternity.
Is that necessary?
No.
I mean, it's just art. The guy's just making a statement, I guess.
But I wonder if that song, listening to it
maybe
forever,
that's one of them.
You'd go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, but there are some songs that I have listened to 1,000 times, like I said, and if it comes back on or it comes up on my phone and I listen to it again,
you will never change it.
Interesting, because there can be a song you've heard 1/10 as much that you're already burned out on.
Yes, and I don't know why this is. I don't know why some songs don't burn for me. One song, for example, I'll give you an example. The Pretender by Foo Fighters.
I've heard that song
so many times.
Yeah.
And I still love it. There's no burn.
Now,
how?
Is that other Foo Fighters songs too, or just that one in particular?
Most Foo Fighters, but that one in particular is the one that I sort of question. I've listened to it so many times. How am I not tired of it?
Right.
I don't get it.
But I don't even think it's like a diss to the song or the artist to say that if I heard this 100 times, I would change it.
That's agreed.
Just normal, you know, earworm stuff.
Agreed, yeah.
But you're saying there is no limit.
There's
on this.
No limit on that one. I have another one for you, and it's this one.
I think I'm full up on Into Club.
Really? That's not one for you?
I'm off in the club.
Here's what happens is
I am no longer in the club.
Into Club comes on, and I just put it on repeat again now today.
I am out of the club.
And the other
I'm
one?
Already at home asleep. And I left the club so long ago that I've driven home, gotten to my PJs.
Hey, this is subjective, man. These are mine.
I've burned down the club.
And here's my last one.
Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.
Two Dre songs.
Can listen to that all day, every
two
day.
Dreamies.
I do still love that song. Yeah. I still love that song. We're going to take your calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. So you get the category here is songs you've heard 1,000 times but will still listen to. In fact, turn up.
They never get old.
They never get old. May I go next?
Yeah,
please.
I have chosen two. The first one will not surprise you. It's a song I have loved since I was a baby and continue to love it. And I don't know that there's a day that goes by that I don't listen to part of this song. Hit it, Steve.
Dean, we're being serious.
I'm being serious, too.
No, we're being... Come on.
I am 100% serious.
Come on.
This... Let me hear a little bit more of my chipmunks. I love this song
so
much.
See, I gave three real examples.
This is real for me.
You said
it was subjective.
It's seasonal.
Except for that one.
It's seasonal, but not for you is what you're saying.
Not for me. I'm telling you, as you know, Kevin, and this is the truth.
I've heard you say it.
It is my alarm. That's the song that I wake up to every single morning.
No wonder you're a dick.
Imagine being in a full-on sleep and then just hearing this. Every day.
I would take my life.
Every day.
I can't imagine that. That is also the song that Donna and I used to sing our puppies to sleep to when we were trying to get them to settle down.
First dance at your wedding.
Please give us a little tip of what that might have sounded.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm telling you that's
the lull. I want to hear how you sung it, though. Did you sing it way up high?
No. Okay. I just sang it. That's a lullaby that we would sing to our kids. And I'm not even kidding. God, I'm denying that one. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know when we had to put our dog down in November, you know when we gave her the vet gave her the shot, that's the song that we sang to her as she slipped away. I mean, that song is very important in our lives.
That's harder to make fun of.
It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I never get tired.
It's just an oddity. It's not even a song. It's just an oddity.
Yeah,
it's a goddamn delight. All right, and my other song is a K-Rock song, by the way, and just like you with your Foo Fighters. I've heard this song a million times. I can't explain why, but when this one comes on, I not only listen to it, I turn it up as loud as I can. I'm taking a
ride with my best friends. Not tired of this either.
Classic Depeche Mode. I even like the Smashing Pumpkins version. I'll even listen to that, too. But the Depeche Mode is the OG.
I learned of that song on this station.
Did you?
K-Rock. Yeah.
We played it a lot.
Yep.
I love it. All right. Before we take a break and get to our listeners' calls, Jensen, what's your song?
This song is so important to me. It reminds me of my entire upbringing here in Los Angeles. And no matter when it is on, if I hear this, do it again. If I hear this, I'll never change it. Play it again.
Regulators! Oh, I love it, too.
Mount up. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my ride, chilling all
night. I mean, I agree with that one.
And not just Warren G and Nate Dogg, but also the idea that it samples Michael McDonald's I Keep Forgetting, which is an incredible song, and also it also has a little bit of Bob James in there. So those two samples, that voice, that era, that first West Coast platinum huge hit, that's my pick.
And I think Regulate will stay on the radio in Southern California forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as iconic a song as any song.
Yes.
Chip, you have one?
So this song is from 2002, and I think it's one of the most played songs on K-Rock from that decade. No One Knows by Queens of Stone Age.
Again, I'll listen to that every time.
Yeah.
The phones are full. We'll get right to your calls, but you can add to the conversation. What song are you never tired of, no matter how many times you hear it? 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just before a song, let's talk to Tracy in Seal Beach. Good morning, Tracy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, Tracy. We're talking about songs that you never get tired of, no matter how much you've heard them. You have one?
I'm actually the opposite. I'm sorry. I guess I misunderstood because mine was Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't want to ever hear that song again.
That's the opposite of the call we were looking for.
I'm so sorry.
I think we have something for Tracy, though, don't we?
Yeah, let's just play it. Let's just play it all the way through for her. And let's keep her on the line. Let's hear her scream.
Thank you for the request, Tracy. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we're happy to get it right on for you, Tracy.
Yeah, no worries.
1-800-520-1067. All right, the opposite of what Tracy thought. We're talking about songs that you never, ever, ever get tired of. But in the meantime, let's all just enjoy this along
Tracy,
with her,
Tracy, it's for you, baby!
World famous K-Rock. You're welcome, Tracy. We're talking about songs that you never get tired of. From the 626, Melissa writes in, Green Day Basket Case, all day, every day. The chubby 13-year-old me will never let go of that song or album. John, Santa Fe Springs, anytime King Missile's detachable penis comes on, I have to turn it up.
Sure.
Daniel from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Here's some songs that I never, ever get tired of when they're played on K-Rock. Drain You by Nirvana, Intergalactic by Beastie Boys, Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun. There are just some songs, as Kevin explained, that have no burn. It doesn't matter how many times you hear them, you still listen to them when they come on
again. And why is that song different than other great songs?
Don't know.
So confusing.
Don't know. We're going to go right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First, Dave, the King of Mexico, you're up.
Hey, guys. So this song makes me just happy. Every time I hear it, it doesn't matter who covers it. It's probably one of the most covered songs. It's Happy Together by the Turtles.
So happy together.
All people would pick a song from the 1960s.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, there's so many contemporary people who have covered it. It's mm-hmm. I saw
including
like,
Weezer 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's on That's My Jam playlist, by the way, if you want to check it out.
All right. All right, Kevin, who do we want to go to first?
Let's go to Annalisa in Los Angeles. Good morning, Annalisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Hey there, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you.
Okay, turn down your radio if you've got that up, and then tell us what song you never, ever get tired of.
Okay, just say a name of a song.
Last Night.
Last Night, The
Last
Strokes.
Night. That's a good tune, right?
That's a great song. That's good. And I want to talk to Annalisa forever on this connection. All right, who's up next?
Up next is Kate, who is calling from Los Angeles. Good morning, Kate.
Hey, what's up?
Song you understand the topic? Heard. What's your song?
My song is Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith. Oh. Every time.
I'm really with you.
I agree.
I just want to roll down.
I'm sorry, the song's playing.
We can't hear you because we love this song.
What, Kate?
I just want to roll down my windows and drive. It's like the first scene in Dazed and Confused.
All right.
I just see that in my mind every time.
Yep, absolutely. I'm right there with you. And by the way, this may be a topic for another day. I think Aerosmith is the band that hit the highest peak, and then the same band also hit the lowest low in their career. In other words, there's no band that's ever been greater that got worse.
I could probably argue Bon Jovi there, too.
The topic.
We'll save that for another day.
Okay.
Let's go to Steve in Long Beach. Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
Song never burns for you. What is it?
Chop Suey, System of a Down.
I got to be honest. I love that song.
I do, too.
But it has to be at the right time of day. And I don't want to be screamed at.
Oh, man.
I don't want to be screamed.
All day, every day, all right. System of a Down is always on, period.
All right.
But that voice that Serge has, man.
All right, okay, take it easy.
You like the Armenian genocide. It's fine.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, don't say yes, sir, to that. That was Jensen.
I don't think you heard it. Okay.
Matt, by the way, writes in, he has a complaint for the show, especially directed toward you, Jensen. Mm-hmm. I think it should be a federal offense to start, regulate, and not let it play all the way through.
I agree. I agree.
I mean, it was regulate as interrupt us is what it was. And that's tough on all of us.
Let's go to Denise in Highland Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what's up?
Hey, Denise.
House of Pain, Jump Around.
So get down to your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
Now, Denise, what is it you think makes you never tire of that song?
I don't know. The second it comes on, it makes my body just weak. Like, I just have to reach for the volume and just crank it.
I'm with Denise. I love that song.
You're going to like basketball games. They play that in every arena around the nation.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. We should start playing House of Pain Jump Around a little bit more often on this show.
Agreed.
By the way, in my opinion.
Let's go to Leo and Roseby.
Time for a couple more.
Hey, Leo.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Dave King of Mexico, they got the oldest station, by the way, for the Turtles.
Yeah, good point.
My favorite is Chumbawamba. Anything by Dharmarama. I don't know. Anybody who's a fan.
Can I tell you?
I thought he said Chumbawamba.
He did it first.
Oh, okay. All right.
Leo, you want to hear something funny? Bean and I used to fine our board ops if they played that song. Because we heard it so many times. We would fine the person running the board for playing that song. We would say, when it comes up, you drop it. Because we heard it so many times.
And it was for years the most popular song. When we would do the countdowns, like the top 500 greatest K-Rock songs of all time, anything was number one for years on this station. It was just, I mean, you're not alone on this. That was a song that never burned for thousands and thousands of people, apparently. Great
anytime
choice, though.
You hear it,
and by the way, it's been long enough now that when I hear it, I can't appreciate it.
Oh, look at that.
I don't mind it now. I've come back around on drama.
Our little bean has grown up.
All right, we got time for one more?
Sure. Let's make it Jorge in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hi, how's it going, Kevin Bing?
It's going well.
My favorite song that I never get tired of is Twin Peaks, Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana.
I mean, that's a pretty good choice.
I mean, it seems like
that's a pretty good choice.
No-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
With my guitar intro and going with the drums.
I've never said this before, but I believe that's the best song that's been written in my lifetime.
I think we have it. You can play it now.
Regulators!
Mauna! Here's Nirvana.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warmer G
was
on
the streets.
That's a good
song, man.
Right? Some skirts for the
we lost him too early.
Get some you're fun. Sure this is?
Yeah.
Just hit the east side. You're welcome.
We lost him.
If you say so.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
That means we are 5 minutes away from giving you tickets to Muse. City Sound Vault presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium. Sold out this Saturday night. You cannot buy tickets, but you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock in 5 minutes. Then, our friend Haley Joel Osment, very fine actor, involved in a couple of great projects, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Jensen's in for Allie. Time for What's Happening.
When you read Adam Levine breaks silence about the Super Bowl halftime performance, you just hope he's not going to sing it. But luckily...
I hope this is a... Let's give some love. I hope this is a very heartfelt apology, and he also is announcing that he is retiring from show business.
Well, I think your hopes are going to be hurt here, because the singer took to Instagram where he wrote a long caption alongside the image of One Love, the light display that was featured during the performance. And he wrote, "When we accepted the responsibility to perform at the halftime show, I took out my pen and just wrote. Some of the words that came to me in the moment eventually made their way onto the incredible lanterns that flew high and low tonight. We thank the universe for the historic opportunity to play on the world's biggest stage. We thank our fans for making our dreams possible.
Sorry we ruined the Super Bowl.
And we thank our critics for always pushing us to do better. One love."
God, what a douchebag.
Do you want to hear the list of words?
The words you wrote down, yeah.
Yeah, that became lanterns?
Yeah.
Okay. Forgive. Laugh. Cry. Smile. These are tattoos that basic women get in, like, Japanese lettering.
Is he nine?
Yeah. Share, live or live, could be either. Endure, embrace, remember, enlighten. This is sweat, fight, express, fortify. I mean, this is crazy.
Does he think that this is, like, inspirational?
By the way, one of them was kneel, and one of them was also stand. So he was on Kaepernick and anti-Kaepernick.
I will say, though, that he did capture the mood of the nation with the word endure, because that's what the halftime show was. It was us having to endure it.
Another one was scream, which is what I did throughout the whole performance. Anyway, Adam Levine not apologizing. He should.
I just had you pegged as a dumb douchebag loser, and you're just one of those things.
I mean, he was right. Mm. Sad news for daytime TV fans this past weekend, as actor Christoph St. John, who played Neil Winters for 27 years on The Young and Restless, was found dead at 52 years old.
Oh, man.
He was discovered in his Woodland Hills home, which is my hometown. I would actually see him all the time at restaurants and
stuff.
Is that
right?
Growing up, yeah.
I hear he was the Denzel of daytime. Is that true?
He was. He was like this very good-looking dude. He was. If you see his face, you'll recognize him, even if you don't think you will. You may have seen him on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Cooper, Arliss, Martin, Living Single, but I remember him best as Denise Huxtable's vegetarian boyfriend on The Cosby Show.
Ah.
The cause of death has not yet been reported.
Yeah, 52 is young for...
Very young.
Yeah.
It's not been reported what the cause of death is yet, but signs would seem to point to drinking or a suicide or a mental health issue. His son Julian died in a similar fashion at a mental hospital after a history with illness.
Oh, man.
And that has been reported to be a recent breaking point in his life. A very tragic ending for a very familiar face. Rest in peace, Christoph St. John.
Wow.
You guys didn't watch soap operas, but you knew who he was, right?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh, I knew his face. Maybe it's just because I would see him at the local sub shop.
Sure.
But he was super famous, and he married like a female boxer, Mia St. John.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Her I know.
Yes. That was his wife, and that's who he had the kid with. The Jussie Smollett story is still shrouded in a ton of mystery, but small details are leaking out from the investigation. It is still being considered a hate crime, but with the police report now out, we're seeing more and more of the facts.
Describe the whole scene.
Basically, Jussie Smollett was in Chicago late night. He picked up a sub sandwich, walked out, was on the phone with his manager, and was allegedly attacked by two men wearing masks. And at some point, they put a noose or rope around his neck and covered him in bleach, or put bleach on him at all, and they were saying homophobic and racial slurs. And whether or not they said something about Make America Great Again is also still one of those did it or did it not
Why
happen.
Are there still questions? Are there not security cameras?
Well, they've looked through hundreds of hours of footage. They haven't necessarily found the attack, but they did find two men that are persons of interest. They put out a photo for people, but it's literally two shadows of men in jackets. So they don't know. But the report is shining a light on some things. Like, for example, it was a 60-year-old man who reported it to police, not Smollett, who we know, quote, didn't want to report it to police, but knew it was in his best interest to do it. The report also states the primary aggressor was wearing a black mask concealing his face, and both offenders were wearing all black. Police reports do say he was 100% sober, which is something a lot of people were questioning if maybe he had been out and drunk and got into a fight, and that he did suffer minor injuries and bruising. Smollett also told police, and it's in the report, that he received hate mail at his place of work on January 22nd, several days before the alleged attack. According to the report, Fox actually had to open it with a hazmat suit as white powder was in it, but it was just aspirin in the end. And now the FBI will take over the case and expect to hear more over the next few weeks.
So ugly to see the worst of us.
Absolutely.
It just sucks.
And also, like, the skepticism towards it.
Well, I guess what I wanted to ask
you about. It's understandable to an extent, but at the same time, like, maybe everyone always says, like, let the process happen. Like, let the process happen in this as well. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the longer it goes without there being any more definitive third-party proof that it happened, the
Never
more
helps.
People will speculate that it's all made up somehow.
But I will also say it's possible the crime took place and there's no one that saw it.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an option, too.
Yeah. Certainly.
It's all in there. Mm. This past weekend, millions of Fortnite players logged into the game, like you, Kevin.
Sure.
Always playing Fortnite, always at home on the cell phone. Just playing Fortnite, getting dropped in a situation, shooting your way out of it.
Uh-huh.
They logged into the game to watch EDM DJ and star Marshmello perform a 10-minute concert.
He did that live?
Yes.
Now, millions of viewers,
how
right?
many you think?
How many viewers?
10 million?
Wow. Well, you read the story.
10 million and one.
10 million. Well, no.
Oh,
it was 10 million. You went over.
Oh, he was right on.
Could have went a dollar. I would have maybe given it to you. 10 million players logged into the game to watch him Saturday night perform at a virtual concert. They gathered at the Pleasant Park, which is just a, you know, not a real park.
Right.
In Fortnite to watch the performance. They could dance along to the music with the players in their game. And on the day of the concert, Fortnite released a special mode that prevented players from shooting each other while they were at the concert, which was probably the right idea. After the show, several people said that it was the first concert they ever attended.
Is that right?
That's right.
That is bigger than most shows on television.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
Unless
yeah.
you're the Masked Singer.
Right.
But coincidentally, Marshmello wearing a mask.
It's true.
He said he actually shared his thoughts on the event. What makes me happiest about today is that so many people got to experience their first concert. All the videos I kept seeing of people laughing and smiling throughout the set are amazing. Now, question. Is it a concert? Kevin first.
Is it a concert?
Yes.
Wow. I don't think so.
Bean?
No. If I sit down and watch Taylor Swift's Reputation on Netflix, I haven't been to a Taylor Swift concert.
But your avatar isn't in it. You're not able to dance
But it's
along.
Not even just that on Netflix. It's in a game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a
I don't think it's a concert.
Concert
I think a concert
also,
is IRL.
Listen, my first concert was Paul Abdul, so I'm not one to argue. Guys, these are the birthdays. Christopher Guest, which you know for movies like Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman, and boy, is he a delight.
And freaking Spinal Tap, by the way.
He's just the best. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Laura Linney, Tim Meadows, Michael Sheen, Darren Criss, Cristiano Ronaldo, the greatest soccer player in the world.
Please, shut your mouth.
And Bobby Brown. That is what's happening.
All right, if you want tickets to Muse, we have them. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll play a game and give those away next. Probably heard that song 1,000 times before I realized they were saying, feels good. I just thought they were just, just making noise.
Hey, actor Haley Joel Osment is in the building. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. He is part of two fascinating projects right now. I'm really excited to catch up with him. Right now, though, we want to hook you up with a pair of tickets to City Sound Vault Presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium. We've all been lucky enough to see Muse. They are amazing live. And seeing them in a place like the Palladium? Come on now. This Saturday night, it is sold out. This game is called Baby Songs.
Baby songs, oh baby songs, how I wonder what you are. Oh, that's right, our man Kevin.
I don't know that we need
He's a little slow when this happens.
We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was.
Yes, I was.
Come on now.
So that's what we're doing here. We're playing lullaby versions of Muse songs. So it's a Muse song done in the style for a baby to enjoy.
Some of them are a little longer because they can be difficult to identify.
Mm-hmm.
But if you identify, you go in the drawing.
Yeah, because they don't sound like Muse much. So we're going to play the baby song for you, or as the rest of the world calls it, a lullaby. All you have to do is identify the Muse song that is being played. If you're right, you go on hold, and we do a drawing at the end if there's more than one winner, and somebody gets to go to the Great Palladium Show. Who's up first?
Israel in Inglewood. Good morning.
What's up? Good morning, guys.
Morning. Good morning, Israel. All right, so we're going to play you a Muse song done as a lullaby. You just have to tell us the title. Here it is.
Sorry, what?
That sounds like Starlight.
It is Starlight.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Hold on. Congratulations. How about that? He got his first thing.
Sounded like he had follow-up questions.
Yeah,
he did too, but didn't like
being
a character.
He wanted the second one.
Ralph in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Ralph, listen up. Here's your baby song, as Kevin calls it.
Knights of Sidonia?
It is Knights of Sidonia.
Nicely done.
Well, two for two, you guys.
Wow.
Very impressive. All right.
All right, you hold on.
Number three, I guess.
Let's go to Jose in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
No no pressure, Jose, but two for two so far. Here's your baby song. Good. Sure sounds like it. What is it? Very popular Muse song.
Pretty big Muse song. Song by Muse. Large song. Played a lot.
Done in the style of a lullaby. All right, well, if you're not going to...
I heard the first...
you're not going to guess, we can't help you.
I got him right away.
I'm sorry, this is it. Supermassive Black Hole.
Sorry, Jose. That's what we were looking for. Two in the running for the tickets for the Palladium Show. Who's next?
Robert in HB. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're doing...
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
You ready for yours?
Yes.
Could be my favorite Muse song, you guys. God, I love it.
That version of it?
No, not so much. Robert, what song is that, please?
Uprising.
No, I'm sorry. Time is running out.
Now time is running out. I mean, Robert realized that time really was running out. Had nothing. All right, so we've hit a little bit of a roadblock here with some of our callers, but let's try again.
Let's go to Drew in Bray. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Here's your song.
Okay, don't need this one. I'd like to bury the musicians who recorded this.
All right, what song is that?
Oh, man. Dead Inside?
Sorry. That song is painful, that the baby song version.
Yeah, that's called Uprising. All right, we got time for one more. Who's our final contestant?
Let's make him Miguel in Moreno Valley. Hi. Hello.
Hi, good morning, guys. How's it going? Miguel.
Good morning. It's going well.
Why is Muse such a sausage fest, by the way? Why don't the ladies want to go see Muse? I mean, seriously. Six dudes.
We have another girl on hold, but we can't get
Six
to her.
Six dudes.
I don't think we have time.
All right. You ready for your song?
Yes, sir.
Right. Good luck. Look, I love a xylophone as much as the next guy.
I don't love a xylophone.
But they need to be put down. I'm sorry. All right, Miguel. Let's go out on a out with a winner.
I'm actually drawing blanks here. I can't tell with that xylophone.
That was Hysteria. I say we can't end on a loser, right?
Okay.
So let's, Bean, you were asking for a girl. We have a girl. We have Veronica in Los Angeles. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Don't be a loser, Veronica.
Right?
pressure.
We're counting on you. Here you go.
That is Margaritaville.
Yeah, everything sounds like Under the Sea.
It does, that's true.
It does.
Do you have a guess?
Will
you say your guess?
Blank.
Pick a song.
Map of the Problematic.
Oh, sorry.
That's the only one. I was resisting. And I know it's not right.
All right, that was a difficult game.
See what happens when you come on a lady.
Only two options, either Ralph or Israel. It's only two.
All right. One can win. We're talking about City Sound Bowl presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium. You can't buy tickets. You can win them all week on the Kevin and Bean Show. This Saturday night is the show. Jensen, who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Israel.
Yeah! No way!
Way to go, dude.
What are the odds? You guys, check this out.
Yes.
I have always won Muse tickets with you guys.
You've won them before with us?
I won them before with Coachella in 2014. I won them last time. What was it? It was another show.
This is like this is like Liam Neeson saying, or this is like the guy saying he does the moonwalk. Like, you didn't have to tell us that, dude.
I'm literally outside of work right now. I'm about to do the moonwalk.
All right.
Congrats. Enjoy the show.
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
Very excited to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, Haley Joel Osment, you guys, who has just been the busiest dude in Hollywood
Good
lately.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
Great, man. Nice to see you guys again.
Great to see you. So much we want to talk to you about, especially with Future Man, especially with my sweet Zac Efron and his movie. but I want to start with, you are a New York Giants fan?
That's right, yes. When I was growing up in L.A., the Rams and Raiders had already left by the time I was, like, football-watching age. So
right.
When I moved to New York for college in 2006, mm-hmm. At the time, if you can believe it, the Jets were the really hot talk of the town.
I'm sorry. Who?
How old are you, dude? I'm 30. But I went with the underdog, and they have rewarded me richly with defeating the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl.
All right.
So, yeah, I will like the Rams the way I like the Clippers. I'm a Lakers fan, but if they're playing any other team, like, I'll root for the home team.
No, not me.
Not me. I'm a Lakers fan, and I hope the Clippers lose.
Yeah.
How dare you.
So you were totally Team L.A. in the Super Bowl. The other day then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, man, what a terrible Super Bowl that was.
What a terrible Super Bowl it was indeed. And you are also a hardcore Dodgers fan.
That's right, yeah.
And how have you been feeling about getting rid of Yasiel and getting rid of Matt Kemp and getting rid of Alex Wood and all the other stuff?
I guess we'll see how it goes. You know, I it's just the way this team makes decisions is very strictly by the numbers. So ultimately it might pan out. But as a fan, obviously, it's really hard to lose all of those guys.
It's hard to lose players that you love. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I think Yasiel's probably going to hit 90 home runs in that little park in Cincinnati, though, so that might be kind of fun.
But right
to
now,
see.
I feel like it's Bryce or bust, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like he's coming there, but that was the plan.
I feel two ways about it. Like, on the one hand, any team can afford anybody if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But then again, maybe you could spend that $300 million on several good players. I mean, I like the Pollock signing, the Joe Kelly signing. Like, they're making smart moves. It's just, yeah, the fan that just wants you to turn to the Death Star and spend $1 billion is sort of starts.
Is Justin Turner the third baseman, is that his name?
Justin Turner? Yeah.
He tweeted right after the Super Bowl, does this mean it's time for baseball?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt, yeah. I think I felt that way in the first quarter.
Yeah. And one more sports-related question, then we'll get on to acting, your primary occupation, and that is, how much golf do you still play, Haley?
A lot more now. I lived in New York pretty much exclusively for 10 years, and my game suffered a lot
there. They don't have great courses on Manhattan.
No, I mean, if you like playing a six-hour round in the cold. But, yeah, I play now basically every Saturday with my dad, who likes to play so early.
Were you like a prodigy as a kid, as a golfer? Were you that good?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, that was
the height. I got the impression you were.
That was the height of, like, the Tiger Woods craze. So there was a lot of really, really good kids. I wasn't even on golf varsity, I don't think, when I was in high school. Like, we had really, really, really good kids. And as you see,
what a loser.
Well, can we get that kid on the show?
Yeah,
who was number one?
Yeah.
What's the best round you ever shot?
I've shot in the high 70s a couple times.
Wow.
So, but my thing is like, I've never had a consistent practice regimen, and now that I'm in LA a lot more, I'm like, I'm finally trying to like get out to the driving.
I shot
range,
in the high 120s once.
Yeah.
No. Good for you.
Has there ever been a time in the last 20 years that you have not been working very regularly as an actor?
It's pretty crazy, like, except for, like, 2009, 2010, when I was trying to wrap up my degree at NYU, I've been working at least a couple times every year, so I feel very, very fortunate for that.
Yeah.
And those 2 years, which were also maybe some of the best years of my life, I was studying experimental theater there, so it's really been a constant thing for, you know, since the age of 4 that I've been working.
Wow, that's amazing. And, of course, the Kevin Smith movies were awesome. You got that run on Silicon Valley, and you got two projects right now, among others, by the way, that are two early to talk about. Two projects right now that we are super psyched about. In fact, I am ticked. I came in this morning and I said,
Bean's
why
angry.
Did nobody tell us about Future Man?
Oh,
how
man.
Did I know we live in the era of too much TV, Haley. We talk about it all the time on the show. Right now, there's great shows that all of us aren't watching because there's so much choice. You can't possibly watch everything. I was angry last night when I tuned in to watch your Future Man episode 1, season 1. It was one of the best pilots I've ever seen, and I thought, why have I not heard about this show?
Well, thanks for saying that. I know it's true. Like, every weekend, I'm like, where do I even begin to catch up on show? I mean, I didn't even finish, like, Deadwood until a couple years ago.
Right,
like,
sure.
You know, it's just so easy to fall behind on things. And, you know, I guess not waste time, but I will spend time watching shows I've already seen. Like, you know, dipping back into The Sopranos or something, which is good to take up a couple of weeks.
Well, here's a tip for listeners that are looking for something funny. It's 30, they're 30 minutes long, which is refreshing.
Yeah.
God bless you for that. And it's super funny.
It is. I mean, it's just such a creative show, and we try really hard to be legitimate in the sci-fi universe that we have, where it does make logical sense if you really try and pull it apart, but it's also very, very, very silly. And in this season, I play a 200-year-old holographic projection of myself who has closed. owned a woman he was obsessed with, sort of raised her as his daughter in the far future.
Sounds so, very reasonable to me.
Yeah, you guys are in canon.
So, Seth Rogen and his partner Evan Goldberg, they're the ones who were kind of behind this from the beginning, right?
They created it, yeah, and it's written by Kyle Hunter and Ariel Schaffer, too, who did This is the End and Sausage Party and all that.
And I just remember when I tune in, and again, forgive me, I only have seen episode 1 now, but I'm so hooked. I just remember going, oh my God, it's Ed Begley Jr. Oh my God, it's Awkwafina. Oh my God, it's Paul Scherer. It's like every single person that came on the screen, I was like, I can't believe how many great actors are in this thing.
It's crazy. It's such a deep cast. And the cast, I think, expands a little bit in this season because we're in like a Mad Max / Jetsons apocalyptic future. And yeah, like Kristen Schaal shows up. Like, it's really, really just a fantastic group of people.
This show's on Hulu, by the way. So
yes. Yes. All episodes, two seasons streaming now on Hulu.
I want to talk about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, that too.
This
yeah.
is like the biggest video game release of the year, and Haley Joel Osment, a voice in it.
That's right. Yeah, I've been doing it since 2001, and it's ironically sort of easier to do that young teenage version of myself now than it was when I was like 17 when my voice was still changed. That it got kind of grotesque in the booth trying to do like an 11-year-old voice.
And this is like, I mean, the cult behind these games is massive.
It's wild.
It's, I mean, you would think out of all the things Haley's done, like how much, you know, what kind of effect it's had on the universe. I would assume Kingdom Hearts is up there in the top.
Oh yeah, I was doing a play called Red about Mark Rothko in Philadelphia like 7 or 8 years ago. Same. And we'd have these educational matinees. They bring in kids from the community, and everyone was so disappointed backstage because every question was, when is Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out? What do you guys think about modernist painting?
Are you in real life a sci-fi geek?
I guess so. Because
between the two things we just talked about, Future Man and Kingdom Hearts, it would seem like you are, but you're just also
fantasy,
an actor
yeah.
playing a role. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I have like a nice attachment to it. Like being in AI and everything yeah. is like a little thing I can hold on to being part of the sci-fi
right.
tradition. But yeah, I guess Future Man's probably the most like genre pure sci-fi thing that I've ever done at this point.
I love that you can casually mention, you know, that Spielberg movie
yeah,
I was
no,
in.
No. That Spielberg Kubrick movie I was in.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What a career. Haley Joel Osment is here. We have to take a quick break. Future Man, by the way, both seasons available on Hulu. But when we come back, we want to talk about Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile, which has been a very controversial movie. It's all about Ted Bundy. And My Sweet Zach is in it, so I'm going to
start calling him that.
I'm going to plumb
can't
you.
Can't you just say Zac Efron?
No, My Sweet Zach. And we'll talk more with Haley when we return on camera.
That is a damn good song right there.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
It's a world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:38.
It's good breaking news right there, too, Kevin.
Thank you.
Haley Joel Osment in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We talked about his Hulu series Future Man, which is outstanding. We guarantee K-Rock listeners will love it. He also just got back from Sundance, and you were there as a cast member of the Ted Bundy movie, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. What's that like for you when you're going to a film festival, kind of not only to get the first public reaction to your movie, but also to pitch it? Like, you're kind of partly there to help sell the thing, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, a movie this about this delicate of a subject matter, the adrenaline really goes up when the lights went down, you know, on our premiere night and everything. And because you know, the trailer is not the movie, we also sort of had to, you know, explain sort of what we're after here. I mean, Joe Berlinger is one of the greatest documentary filmmakers of all time, has spent a lot of time on death row, has literally gotten people out of prison with his films. So as someone who goes to the subject matter with a great deal of seriousness that some people on Twitter may not gather from a trailer he didn't make.
Listen to this. Listen to this cast, though. This cast is insane. Zac Efron, Lily Collins, Jeffrey Donovan, Dylan Baker, Jim Parsons, John Malkovich, Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, Jesus. We were pretty lucky. Yeah.
So Joe Berlinger that you mentioned, I want to make sure I understand this correctly. He was doing the research, the Ted Bundy research, to make your movie, Extremely Wicked. And at the same time, he said, oh, now that I've heard these Bundy tapes, I'm going to make a separate documentary that we're going to put on Netflix.
It was actually
same
a coincidence.
Dude, right?
Someone came to him with the documentary tapes while he was already in pre-production for our movie. So it was just, he is the go-to guy. You know, for this sort of intense subject matter.
And,
but yeah,
yeah.
Just
and K-Rock listeners might know him from his incredible Metallica documentary where he follows them into therapy,
yeah.
which was so good. And then also Paradise Lost, which is considered
yeah.
probably like the greatest documentary ever,
oh, yeah.
helped
wow.
exonerate three innocent children basically from doing what they called was like satanic rituals and a murder, which never happened. So this guy, other than doing the Ted Bundy movie that's now sold for $9 million, he's
wow.
also like
yeah.
made movies, a medium where he like helps crimes get solved.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Has he done feature films before, though, Haley?
He did Blair Witch 2, right?
Yeah, this is his first narrative feature in like
gotcha.
20 years.
Yeah, Blair Witch 2 is actually better than people give it, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good.
Really?
Yeah. No one gave it the credit. I mean,
I don't think I saw it.
It's not done in the shaky camera thing.
Yeah, the first one made me sick.
Yeah, this is just a normal movie, and it's pretty good.
And speaking of Metallica, James Hetfield also plays a police officer in the movie, too.
What?
He was there at the premiere, so yeah.
Whoa.
I rarely am, like, texting friends, like, hey, I met so-and-so, but a couple people got the, like,
oh, sure.
Who I'm hanging out with.
That's very cool.
So, Haley, the movie Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile is kind of told from the perspective of Ted Bundy's girlfriend, Liz, right, played by the great Lily Collins.
Yes,
correct?
Yeah.
And your character works with her.
Yeah, I'm a friend of hers at the office who sees her sort of descend almost into madness, you know, because he is manipulating her and telling her he's innocent and calling her all, you know, around the clock, which he did manage to do in real life. She was sort of ambivalent about whether he had done it right up until basically his execution.
Well, seems like that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And you'd want to have more of a strong feeling on that.
Yeah.
But Kevin, picture if you had a suspicion that your wife was a serial killer. You would do everything in your power to not believe that. You would,
I mean, flip it around. She thinks I am.
Yeah. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Make us realistic.
But I mean, think about what it was like for Ted Bundy's girlfriend. Like, this is not the man that I know and that
yeah.
I live with. It can't be. It's not possible.
A lot of people in our industry and in sports and everything were in hindsight, it's like, how did people not see and stop this? But from the inside, like, you know, being sort of snowed by their mystique and everything, that's what I think the movie does a really good job of showing. And it's helped along by you're looking at Zac Efron's handsome face.
All right, that... Bean, go ahead and ask your questions, Bean.
How does he smell, Haley?
So good.
Oh, dear
so
Lord.
Good. Yeah. Up in that mountain air.
Did you have a lot of scenes with Zac?
No, only over the phone, unfortunately. But
I would pay for that.
Yeah. That was my first day is, you know, going into the kitchen in this little house in Covington, Kentucky, and picking up the phone and having this really intense conversation with Zach.
All right. I'd like to just separate myself from Bean, because Bean calls him my sweet Zach.
Yes.
And I have since High School Musical, by the way.
And my view on Zac Efron is he's become a really good actor.
Yeah, and I think this movie is
really
exciting
good.
For that. He's terrific in this movie, and even people who didn't like the movie had to respect his performance in it. Yeah.
Does he get into method at all in this? Like, did he want to be called Ted off scene?
Did he kill people on his own time?
Was he strikingly handsome but murder people?
He didn't. The only kind of thing that could verge on method is that they had Lily not look at any of the crime stuff until the very end when there is, it's not really a spoiler because it's a true story, when she has to accept it. So that was all saved for that big turn. And it's such, that was the best part about the whole film festival for me is that we were in this audience of people who were not quite as familiar with Ted Bundy's story as we were. And when the turn happens, you could just feel the air like sort of go out of the room when people had to see what he was really like, and that was very exciting.
Are you friends with
the air went out of the room? That was very exciting.
You friends with Zach now?
Sure, yeah.
Do you guys text?
Bean, no. For God's sakes.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I know.
Is there a time that you will have lunch with him in the future?
Do you want me to give you a heads up when that's happening?
So I do.
You don't want to do that.
No, please.
I do have, and you know, Kevin, we've worked together a long time. You know how rarely I ask for autographs.
Yeah.
Somebody did ask, God bless him, Zach, for an autograph for me, and I do have an autograph.
Oh, that's great.
I do have an autograph.
It bothers me, though, that a 75-year-old man, or however old you are, fell in love with him on High School Musical.
I did.
He's done so many better projects than that.
And I support them all. I'm just telling you, my love has never dimmed, not for a second.
All
and
right.
I'm so jealous of Haley Joel Osment right now. Netflix bought the thing for $9 million. When is it going to go up for us to see?
I believe the fall is what I heard. But yeah, that was very exciting for that to happen.
Very exciting.
And it makes sense because it's now paired up on that streaming service with the incredible 4-part documentary that
absolutely.
Joe
all right, did. So that's Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, and of course, Future Man that we talked about in the last segment is available now on Hulu. Two great seasons. Check it out. Before you go, Haley, 60 seconds with Kevin is just going to fire questions at you for one full minute. You just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
You got it.
60 seconds with Haley Joel Osment. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Paleontologist.
What was the worst job you ever had?
I mean, they've all been acting for the
you
kids.
You can pass.
Yeah, you pass, yeah.
What's your favorite video game that you're not in?
Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
What's your move when a jury summons shows up in the mail?
I've had to go 4 times in the past
what?
8 years. Yeah, it's true.
What would people be surprised to find out about you?
I'm shy.
What food would you banish from the earth if you had that power?
Cincinnati chili.
So specific.
Like a sex move.
Poor skyline.
Describe yourself chili. In a hashtag.
Angelino.
What's the best concert you've ever seen?
Radiohead, Hollywood Bowl.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Sure.
Do you collect anything?
Yes, coins and stamps.
Pineapple on pizza. Oh.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
I don't know why people are so mad about that one. Like, I don't mind Hawaiian pizza.
Well, now
time
we know.
Can't shut up.
No. thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice talking to you guys. Yeah,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
I like that Haley Joel Osment, you guys.
Good dude.
Yeah, he's a good
super
dude.
Super fun guy. And it's nice to see a child star grow up and become a, you know, a seeming... What? What's happening?
Oops.
Seemingly well-adjusted, adult, successful, happy actor.
I agree.
Because that's not the case for a lot of them, you know? Not everybody's Ron Howard.
Not everybody's my wife.
Right, exactly. K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, destination number four, you guys, is Panic at the Disco. We just heard him here on K-Rock, and now we're going to give away tickets in about 5 minutes or so. About 5 minutes from right now, you can win your tickets for Panic at the Disco at the Honda Center or at the Forum. And then you are qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to see them at the O2 Arena in London, including three-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare. So that's coming up in about 5 minutes. First, Jensen is here with What's Happening in for Alley.
But before we give those away... We are just a plethora of gifts because we are giving away to five different winners a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Happy Death Day to You at the AMC Burbank.
We're all going to die tonight.
Right, that is true. It comes out on February 13th, but you will get the chance to see it February 11th, which is awesome. Again, five winners. Let's take callers 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Wow. Okay.
Let's do that. Five winners. Call now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
That's it. Call in. Happy Death Day was a very underrated movie. The first one. I'm sure the second one's great. This Justin, Wendy Williams, who a lot of people know from her television show or her time as a Hot 97 DJ in New York or K-Day here, is once again having some health issues. I don't know if you guys ever saw... the video of her on live television on the Wendy Williams show having what looked like a seizure or a stroke.
Oh, no.
She just collapsed, right?
Very rough. Just collapsed,
I didn't see that.
Live television. Her talk show has been postponed indefinitely.
Of course.
Because of health issues.
That is, obviously, personally, that's bad news for her that she's not doing well, but that's a multi-million dollar business, that
talk show. I mean, multi-millions. I mean, she's one of the highest paid people in daytime television. In 2017 was when she fainted on air. She said it was overheating from a Halloween costume. I do not believe that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It looked very terrifying. Her reps now say she is suffering new complications from her Graves' disease, symptoms that include bulging eyes, weakness, irritability, and shakiness.
Oh, that's too bad.
Which is a shame.
Awful.
I was wondering, okay, now we've moved on from how sad we are for her personally.
Come on.
We wish her the very best. But I was wondering how they could make the Wendy Williams show worse. Mm-hmm. And the answer was they had Nick Cannon start filling in for her when she took sick leave.
I don't know if you guys have ever watched Jerry O'Connell sitting in for Wendy Williams.
I've not.
No.
It's the best. If you guys want to watch Jerry O'Connell, he just...
Hollywood treasure.
Hollywood and American master of acting. He goes in and just basically plays Wendy Williams on her show. And he does like, how you doing? And he
that's great.
It's
how
great.
You doing?
Yeah, there it is. Not well. Wendy Williams, not doing well anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, but her show sucked.
Right.
But I hope she's okay. And I hope she that's great.
Right now, can you just keep your opinion about her
show?
No,
he's only allowed to keep it a bean.
Okay.
All right. Liam Neeson appeared on Good Morning America this morning to clarify his controversial comments and to explain he's quote-unquote not a racist. For people who didn't know the story, Liam Neeson did an interview where he said that a friend of his was raped years ago by what she described as a black man.
Okay.
He became so infuriated by this crime that he would walk the streets with a stick waiting for a black person to approach him and try to fight him so that he could basically kill them.
Whoa, that is misdirected rage toward an innocent person.
By the way, I'm standing up for the rage because that will destroy a person.
Well, he also said some black bastard. He was hoping that some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me. So,
but
you know,
that
I
is
kill
very problematic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a cool thing to say.
No.
And I also think if it had been a white man who had committed the rape, he would not have gone out and just randomly beat up another white guy.
Well, I don't know.
Funny you say that.
Definitely racist.
Funny you say that, because on Robin Roberts, he said, luckily no violence occurred. But he said that if his friend did say that the attacker was white, he would have been on the hunt for someone who was white.
Oh, really? So, that's what he's saying.
I believe that.
So he's racist to everybody, not just to blacks.
He's racist to rapists.
I believe that you're so enraged by what happened to your friend that you can't see straight. I really do.
It's very possible, but I think the way you explain it, I'm walking the streets looking for a black bastard.
That's
like,
very
dude,
troubling. Yeah.
Calm down, bro. You're not Chuck Norris.
He didn't act on it, thank God, and he seems to recognize how wrong it was and seems to be glad that he got over it or got past it somehow, right?
Yeah, he told Robin Roberts this morning that he hopes it will help people open up. Because we all pretend we're kind of politically correct. I mean, in this country, it's the same in my own country, too. You sometimes just scratch the surface and you discover this racism and bigotry, and it's there.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not a racist is something that you probably don't want to go on any show to have to say.
True. Liam and Lisa Neeson leased a Nissan. Which Nissan would Liam and Lisa Neeson lease?
It's a good clip. Another unanswered question, by the way.
Yeah, he's got to go on the air to talk about that. Guys, happy birthday to these people. Christopher Guest, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tim Meadows, who's hilarious.
He's great.
So good in Mean Girls and so many things. Chris Parnell, Duff McKagan, Michael Sheen, and Bobby Brown, the musician, not the makeup person. And that's what's happening.
Congratulations to Catherine Morrison from Banning. Just got 2 tickets to see Panic at the Disco at the Honda Center. And qualified to win Wheels Up 2019 Destination No. 4, which is a chance to see them again in London, England.
Wow. Do that throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9. Hey, before we get into your India story, Kevin, about the guy who's suing his own parents.
Come on.
Can I just make a quick call?
Yes, I mind.
Just a quick call. Just take care of this.
Namaskar.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay! Nope.
Come on, man.
All right, let's hear it. Time for one more look at what's happening in for Allie. Here's Jensen.
Oh, hi, everyone. R. Kelly is going on the road.
I thought you were going to say going to jail.
No, he's going on the road. He is not.
Do we need all of that?
No. After multiple allegations of sexual abuse and kidnapping and rape and God, I don't know what. It's almost like a bingo of crimes for him. He announced this morning that he is going on tour to Australia, New Zealand, and Sri Lanka.
He's leaving.
It's gonna live up to the hype.
He's leaving the country.
He is. He maybe never come back.
Right.
But does he not think that the news will have gotten there ahead of his tour?
I don't know if they
care. They don't have news there, Bean.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Right.
He made the announcement on Instagram writing, "New tour alert, Australia, New Zealand, Sri Lanka. See y'all soon with just a crown." The tour announcement is odd, besides obviously being investigated for crimes, because a similar tour was announced back in December, but then R. Kelly quickly went on social media and said the tour announcement was fake. So that's weird.
Huh.
So it was the same tour.
That's odd.
In denying that tour, he did tease saying, "Watch my social, though, because we're doing an international tour soon. Stay tuned for more King S in the very near future." I want everything I do to be King S.
I'm not sure what he means by that.
I know. It's probably different than what I think.
Yeah.
And if you're under 16, ladies, free tickets.
Guys, I'm going to let that pass.
Please.
This year's Super Bowl.
And yet, probably accurate. Yeah. Back to you.
This year's Super Bowl has a lot of controversy, not only just for the political aspect of it or the terrible halftime performance, but the fact that a lot of people just don't want to tune in. Our own Allie McKay, who's out today, she just didn't. She gave up on football.
She gave up on football, though, because of them not handling domestic violence.
Which is valid. Pretty valid.
Yeah.
Well, the ratings are in, and it seems like a lot of people agree with Allie. The defensive battle turned in a 44.9 share, which is the lowest since Pittsburgh and Arizona a decade ago. And Pittsburgh and Arizona, that's like an NFL television nightmare. Those are two markets that, it's true.
How dare you? It's my Cardinals.
I'm just saying. No,
you're
right. It's not New York, L.A., or it's not Chicago. It's not a market city. So to have New England, Massachusetts, and L.A.
Yeah.
not even come up to their standard seems pretty low. It was a 5% drop in viewers over last year and nearly a 10% drop from the matchup of the Patriots and the Seahawks. Streaming numbers not in there yet, but...
How many people does that work out to? Do you know? 44 share?
It's about 45 million people, but then with streaming, it's going to end up being like 70 to 80.
No, I thought it was about 100 million they had for TV. Yeah,
is
about 100 million.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
right,
I guess,
around exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's about the share. So.
It's just odd to me that you can get 100 million viewers and go, we were down. Because you still got 100 million viewers.
Yeah, but I think that they count on, you know, obviously it's all about advertising, and they're every year they raise the cost of a spot during the Super Bowl, and I think they kind of make a...
So this hurts them.
Yeah.
They make a guarantee, yeah.
Yeah, they sell against what it was last year, so anytime you have a dip, it's bad news. But you know what did get good numbers? Over 20 million viewers for the James Corden show with the judges on a wall.
The world's greatest...
World's greatest people who've ever existed.
Who ever lived?
Yeah, that did pretty well.
How often has this happened, Jensen? I don't know why I'm asking you this. You're
Please.
Not going to know.
No, I'm an expert.
But the same two cities that were in the World Series were also in the Super Bowl a couple of months later.
Oh, yeah.
That's unusual.
That
isn't
is unusual.
Because it was Red Sox-Dodgers, if I remember correctly, in the World Series. And now it's Patriots-Rams.
Well, you did it. Congrats.
Nice job.
I'm just saying that can't have happened.
No, great
very
job,
often.
Bean.
Yeah.
Good job, Bean. Hey man, where do we send the bonus? Where do we send it?
I was just asking. It struck me as a weird, like, trivia thing.
Yeah, it is a weird trivia thing.
Congrats, Bean.
All right, back to you.
Call now.
No, don't call now. Don't call. Congratulations, Andy Cohen. You've created quite a career for yourself over at Bravo and New Year's and all the things you do, Love Connection. But you have finally conquered fatherhood.
Yeah, bitch.
Last night, at age 50, he announced that he is a first-time dad with the birth of his child, Benjamin Allen. The tiny tot came in at, well, I guess it's not so tiny, 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
That's huge.
That is very large. He's been very active and vocal about having a surrogate give birth to his son. And he shared a black and white picture of himself holding the baby, and it was very cute. Benjamin Allen is the name of his grandfather on his mother's side, so it's a name very close to him.
I like that name.
It is. Very nice. It's on the list. Danielle and I put it on the list.
All right.
Name it exactly the same as Andy Cohen's baby. Benjamin Allen Cohen.
Same last name.
Yeah. And he said on the caption, "I'm in love and speechless and eternally grateful to an incredible surrogate, and I'm a dad." Wow.
Sex organs.
Whoa.
Good for him.
Yeah. Do you guys know when was the last time that two teams in the World Series, the cities also face each other in the Super Bowl? That can't be much.
I thought it was a legitimate point.
Listen.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
The other day we had a whole segment about TV shows that we would like to come back. Things that, you know, maybe ended too early or things we would want to see kind of progress since they went off the air.
Let me just interrupt.
Yes.
Bean, that was a fun fact. It actually was.
You like it?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Back to you.
Wow.
I got to give you credit. It was.
I'd like to find out what other times it's happened.
Yes, Jensen. I'm sorry.
All right.
TV shows you want to bring back.
No one said Party of Five, and that might be for a reason. I don't know if any of us watched Party of Five or if any of us are trying to figure out what happened to them. But Freeform, the channel, has announced that they have picked up a reboot of the show from the original series creators Amy Lippman and Chris Kaiser. All right. It'll have 10 episodes and follow the Acosta family and 4 children as they navigate daily life to survive as a family unit after their parents were suddenly deported to Mexico.
Oh, so it's a documentary.
Yes, yes, yes. It's very serious.
And they're filming this in 1,000 households across America right now.
Unable to find their children. I don't know. Party of Five, does it have a cult following?
I don't think so still.
I mean,
obviously there are some, but I don't think it's very mass appeal.
No, I wouldn't think so.
It's a poorly named show, too. It was not a party.
No, not a party at all.
No.
Sadness of Five.
Yes.
We are huge Jemaine Clement fans here at Kevin and Bean. So big news yesterday as they released the trailer and release date of What We Do in the Shadows, the television adaptation of a movie that I couldn't suggest more from 2014, starring Jemaine and, I said it wrong last break.
Oh.
Taika Waititi? Am I saying it right, Bean? Nope, I'm saying it wrong. I'm just going to let it sit.
All right.
We know who you mean.
Well, I guess. Listen, March 27th, it's going to air on FX, 10 episodes. I'm very excited. You can go online now and watch the trailer. The movie is a mockumentary
fake in the lines of like Best in Show or any of the Christopher Guest movies.
Love, love.
And you watch the lives of vampires living in just modern day. They've been living in this case, in the TV show, in America for 200 years.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm so excited. Again, March 27th, 10 episodes. Go online and see the trailer.
Give me Luda. I'm with that guy.
Birthdays today. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Laura Linney, Tim Meadows, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver, Darren Criss from Glee, and Bobby Brown, the singer and ex-husband of Whitney Houston. He's not problematic at all, is
he? No.
No, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Jensen. Hopefully, Ali will feel better tomorrow. If you missed any part of today's show, you can get the entire thing on today's Kevin and Bean podcast at krock.com or radio.com on your drive home. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got a brand-new internet roundup. We have comedian Brad Williams.
Yes.
Who's on Drop the Mic.
Yes, he's going up against Nikki Glaser.
How is he as a rapper?
He's very good.
He is.
He is very good, but the only issue we had is that this was a back and forth for about 8 months with standards and practices.
Oh, really?
This was a nightmare.
Because they're not used to having to censor themselves.
No,
as
no, no.
Stand-up comedians, right? No.
Yeah, and every couple minutes, either one of them would text me and go, what if I add this? And I go, oh, that's bad news.
So that's tomorrow morning along with your Muse tape.